Invisible chains of Caelvarn, the silent weighing as I stepped out of the Everia carriage, the dim glow of ashen roads lanterns cast long shadows across the night forges crumbling facades. My eyes scanned the narrow streets for any sign of my mark, the faint hum of curiosity rising in my chest like the prelude to a whispered secret. People passed me by with cautious smiles and nods, their gazes flicking between me and the darkness beyond. They knew better than to linger on anyone connected to Caelvarn. Those who understood recognized the weight of our work, the subtle correction we dispensed in the shadows. The curious one sensed it too, a hint of something unspoken, something that only revealed itself when silence was broken. I navigated through the crowd with a quiet focus, weaving between vendors and pedestrians. My footsteps were a gentle drumbeat on the worn cobblestones, punctuated by the creaking of wooden signs above the stalls. The scent of roasting meats and fresh bread filled my nostrils, mingling with the acrid tang of smoke from the forges. At last, I stopped before a plain door with no sign or markings. It swung open on a well-oiled hinge as I pushed it, and a figure stepped out into the dimness. "You're early," he said, his eyes darting toward the carriage before returning to mine. "Not by much," I replied, voice low. We moved into the darkness of the doorway, away from prying eyes. My mark lay on a narrow bed within, bound with pale leather straps and sealed shut with a small padlock. A faint hum emanated from it, no larger than the quiet buzzing of a harp string. "You've been told what to expect," I said to the figure beside me, voice steady. He nodded once, not glancing at the device, but rather at me. "Yes." I reached into my cloak and produced a small vial filled with crystal liquid that glinted in the faint light. "This is Melos Draw Essence," I said. "It'll ease your discomfort. But remember, the cost comes due." He took it without question, unscrewing the stopper to inhale deeply before passing it back to me. A moment later, his eyes drifted closed and the hum from the device grew louder. I leaned in closer to examine the mark more closely. The lock on its wrists shone like polished silver, the metal darkening as I touched it with my fingers. The weight of it was familiar, a heavy iron that echoed in every cell, reminding me of debts paid and those yet to come. As the device hummed louder, sweat beaded on the figure's brow, his chest heaving slightly. His breath caught, but no pain marred his features. I waited for a few heartbeats, then broke the seal, opening the straps and freeing him from its grasp. He rose slowly, looking about with an expression both relieved and disoriented. "Who are you?" he asked, voice husky, his gaze meeting mine in search of answers. I let him see nothing, giving only a small inclination of my head before turning to leave. "Wait," he said, his words cutting through the fading hum like a clear bell tone. "Why did you help me?" The world outside was growing louder, its sounds spilling into this space as I walked toward the door, hand on the latch ready to open it and end our encounter. No need for answers from me, none given nor expected. "Perhaps," I said instead, voice level, "you'll understand soon enough." As I stepped out into Ashen Road's din, a subtle memory stung the edge of my mind. The cost of helping him was already due, paid in small increments since before we met. A debt measured by time and patience, weighed on a balance unseen to anyone but me. I descended into the crowded market, weaving through stalls selling everything from fine silks to cheap trinkets. The cacophony of haggling vendors and the clanging of pots and pans provided a welcome distraction from the memory that lingered on my skin like a whispered promise. I navigated the narrow alleys with practiced ease, aware of every face, every pair of eyes that watched me from behind veils or under hoods. A hooded figure stepped out from an alleyway ahead, blocking my path. "Brother," he said, his voice barely above a whisper, though it carried well in the din. I recognized the cadence, the careful way he formed words, like each one was a stone placed deliberately on a scale. His hands were empty, a subtle detail that spoke volumes about his intentions. The market's sounds receded as we stood there, surrounded by nothing but the night's chill and the weight of unspoken promises. "You're late," I said finally, a hint of curiosity creeping into my tone. The hooded figure inclined his head in acknowledgement, a small movement that spoke more than words could. "We've received new information about your associate," he continued, voice low and measured. "The one you've been watching for some time now." My eyes narrowed, a spark of interest igniting within me. I'd thought the threads were becoming too thin, but this might just be the thread I needed to weave together the puzzle. "What kind of information?" I asked, my voice a steady drumbeat in the silence. The hooded figure didn't hesitate, his words spilling out with a practiced ease that made me wonder how much he'd rehearsed this moment. "He's not what you think he is. Not who we've been led to believe." I raised an eyebrow, intrigued despite myself. "And who do you believe him to be?"
The question hung in the air like a challenge, though I knew better than to think I was in any position to dictate terms.
The hooded figure leaned in closer, his voice barely audible over the hum of the market. "Someone with a name that echoes through our order's history." "I see," I said, my voice measured to match his tone. "And who would that be?" The market around us seemed to fade away, leaving only the two of us suspended in a bubble of quiet curiosity. The hooded figure's gaze darted about before settling back on me, as if ensuring we were truly alone. "A man named Aaron Vex," he said finally, his voice barely above a whisper. My grip on the handle of my dagger tightened, though I made no other movement. Aaron Vex was a name from an older time, one whispered in hushed tones among our kind. A legendary figure. Some said a traitor who'd been hunted by the Order for years before disappearing into the shadows. My mind began to spin with the implications, weaving together the fragments of information I'd gathered over the months. Aaron Vex had indeed been someone close to the Order's founder, but his betrayal was said to have been so profound that even now it was a topic of forbidden discussion within our ranks. Yet, this new revelation threw a different light on the man my mark and I had freed. Could he be more than just another victim? My thoughts swirled with possibilities as I pushed past the hooded figure, making my way through the winding alleys and into the quieter streets beyond. The city's sounds began to recede further, replaced by the soft rustle of leaves in the night breeze. I stopped before a small fountain, its water glistening in the dim light like a fragment of moon. I crouched down beside it, dipping my hand into the cool liquid and cupping it to bring the sound closer. Water rippled against the stone lip, creating an artificial lullaby that soothed my racing thoughts. For a moment, the past and present blurred memories of the Order's early years, the stories about Aaron Vex's treachery, the man we'd freed in the Night Forge. It was then I recalled why I'd been tracking him. His name was linked to another figure, one who had left me with a debt to collect. My gaze fell upon a small inscription on the fountain's wall, hidden away among intricate carvings of mythical creatures. "May our hearts be as this water, pure and flowing." I continued to stare at the inscription, my mind still reeling with the implications of what I'd just learned. The water's gentle lapping against the stone was a stark contrast to the turmoil brewing within me.
How much did the hooded figure know?
And who was he working for? I rose from my crouch, wiping my hand on my cloak before standing under the faint light cast by the moon above. The city's night air enveloped me like a damp shroud as I turned away from the fountain, making my way back into the winding streets. The buildings seemed to close in around me, their shadows deepening with every step. I navigated the alleys with a practiced ease, knowing these paths by heart, but tonight, something felt off-kilter. A thread had been pulled loose, and I couldn't see where it led. I finally arrived at my destination, a small, unassuming tavern nestled between two larger establishments. The sign above the door creaked in the breeze, bearing the image of a night-blooming flower, our mark. I pushed open the door, stepping inside to a room filled with figures huddled over mugs and plates of food. My gaze swept the space, searching for a specific face among the patrons. At the bar, a woman with hair as black as mine looked up from wiping down her counter with a white cloth. Her eyes flickered towards me before returning to her work,
but I knew she'd seen me.
Kale, she said softly, without a hint of inflection, as if my name was just another word on the tip of her tongue.
I slid onto a stool beside her, nodding once in response.
She set about drawing a mug of ale from the tap, handing it to me with the same practiced efficiency.
You're late, she said, not looking at me directly, but I knew that was part of her role observer and listener.
I'm on my way, I replied, raising the mug in a silent toast before taking a sip. The ale was cold and bitter, just as I liked it.
Did you find out what I asked for? I prompted, watching her as she busied herself with cleaning another glass.
She paused for a heartbeat before meeting my gaze this time, her eyes flickering towards me like embers on the edge of being extinguished.
Something, she said quietly, but it's not what you want to hear.
Her words were laced with a warning, and I knew better than to press further in this space. The patrons of our mark were unpredictable, and whispers could be deadly here.
I set my mug down on the counter, a faint echo of the weight it made when it touched the surface lingering in the air before the patrons returned to their murmured conversations.
What did you find?
I asked again, though I'd already known she'd have little to tell. Our mark's people were cautious, and for good reason we had a price on our heads as much as any of theirs.
She glanced about the room once more before leaning in close, her voice barely audible over the soft hum of conversation. I heard rumors, whispers, Kale. Nothing concrete.
Her eyes darted to mine, a flicker of a question there before she looked away. I recognized it a plea for guidance on how far to push this information.
In situations like these, one misstep could be fatal.
Go on, I said, taking another sip of the ale to give her an excuse for speaking freely. The patrons around us seemed absorbed in their own conversations, but I sensed their interest, their ears pricked as if awaiting some signal to move, and I'd given them one, even though it wasn't intentional.
Her gaze lingered on mine a moment longer before she continued.
Someone's been asking about you, Kale.
A man in a black cloak with a silver pin on his lapel.
She paused, her eyes locked on mine now.
People are saying he's connected to the order, that he's the one who's been feeding them information about our mark.
My grip on my mug tightened reflexively as a sudden chill ran down my spine.
I don't know what this means, she continued softly, her words barely audible over the hum of the tavern.
But I thought you should know.
The people around here are getting restless. They're starting to talk about leaving, or worse.
Her gaze flickered towards the door, where the patrons were beginning to stir, sensing a shift in tension.
I stood up from my stool, setting the mug down on the counter with more force than necessary.
A murmur ran through the crowd as eyes turned towards me, and I knew that was all the invitation they needed.
The patrons began to disperse, their movements fluid and purposeful, like a rippling stone disturbing the surface of water.
My mark's people were nothing if not adaptable.
As the tavern emptied out, she leaned in close once more, her voice barely audible now.
Be careful, Kale.
There are whispers of something big, something that could put us all at risk.
The patrons were gone now, but I sensed we were far from alone. The city itself seemed to be watching me, its shadows deepening into potential threats.
I turned to leave, my hand on the hilt of my dagger.
I'll take care, I said, nodding in response to her unspoken warning.
The alleyways outside seemed darker now, the night air colder than it had been before, as if the city itself was holding its breath in anticipation of what would come next.
I navigated the dark alleys with a sense of urgency, my eyes scanning the rooftops for any sign of the man in the black cloak.
The city seemed to be alive tonight, its shadows twisting into menacing forms that lurked just beyond the reach of the moonlight.
I knew these streets well, but they felt treacherous now, as if every doorway could conceal a threat.
As I walked, the sounds of the city changed from the murmur of conversations and clinking glasses to the scrape of metal on stone.
Footsteps echoed behind me, heavy and deliberate.
I didn't need to turn to know it was him. The weight and cadence were unmistakable.
My hand rested on the hilt of my dagger, a habitual gesture that spoke more of habit than intent.
The alleyways were narrow enough that we could have met in close quarters, but I had no desire to engage in combat here, not when there were so many questions still to be answered.
I quickened my pace, weaving between market stalls and vendor carts that seemed abandoned for the night.
The footsteps kept pace with me, never gaining or falling behind.
We moved through a maze of alleys, the city's layout designed to confuse even the most familiar of its residents.
I knew this game, it was one of evasion, of seeing how long I could keep him on my tail without making a move. But for what reason? Was he here to follow, to wait for something to happen, or was this more than mere curiosity?
The buildings began to give way to larger structures, the warehouses and storage facilities that lined the city's outskirts. The air grew thick with the scent of damp stone and salted fish, a smell that clung to my skin as I moved further into the darkness. My breath came short and sharp in my chest, my senses heightened. We were almost at the docks now, the place where ships came and went, carrying goods and secrets alike.
I turned into a narrow passageway between two warehouses, the walls towering above me like sentinels. The footsteps paused behind me, then continued with renewed caution, as if their owner was trying not to be heard. I moved swiftly through the passage, my eyes fixed on the exit ahead, a door that led directly onto the docks. Beyond it lay the sea and the ships that waited to carry their cargo into the night. I burst through the doorway, out into the cool ocean air. The ships loomed above me, their masts swaying in the breeze like skeletal fingers. I knew these vessels, they were old friends and allies of the Order, each one bearing the symbol of our mark on its sail or prow. Yet, tonight, something felt off, as if even the ships themselves seemed to be watching me with an unblinking gaze. I walked along the dock, my footsteps echoing off the water, scanning the ships for any sign of the man in black.
The darkness was almost palpable, a living thing that wrapped itself around me like a shroud. I could feel its weight on my shoulders, its presence making it hard to breathe.
For the first time tonight, I wondered if I'd misjudged this situation entirely, if I was walking into a trap instead of towards answers.
The city's night air seemed to grow colder still as I reached the end of the dock, where a ship waited with its gangway down. The vessel itself looked familiar, its sails were frayed and worn, but it bore our mark proudly on its prow. I approached the gangway, my senses heightened as I peered into the darkness within. A figure stood at the top of the gangway, backlit by the faint moonlight filtering through the clouds. And in that moment, I knew we weren't alone anymore, not just us two, but countless others hiding in the shadows, watching and waiting for their cue to strike. As I stepped onto the gangway, my foot creaked on the wooden boards, echoing through the stillness of the night. The figure at the top didn't move, its presence seeming almost expectant, as if it had been waiting for me to make this move. The air was heavy with anticipation, and I could feel the weight of unspoken expectation pressing down upon me. I climbed the gangway, my hand on the railing as I ascended, taking in the shape of the figure above. It was a woman, tall and imposing, her dark hair pulled back into a tight braid that fell down her back like a rope. Her face was pinched and pale, with eyes that seemed to bore into mine like they could see right through me. "Welcome, Kale," she said, her voice low and husky, with a hint of an accent I couldn't quite place. "I've been waiting." Her words were like a key turning in a lock, releasing the tension that had built up inside me as I climbed onto the ship. But I wasn't sure if this was the welcome I'd expected. She stepped back from the gangway, beckoning me towards her with an open hand, and I followed, my eyes never leaving hers. The ship itself seemed to be watching me, its wooden hull looming above like a sentinel. As I moved deeper into the vessel, the air grew thick with the smell of salt and tar, mixed with something else, something acrid and medicinal. The woman led me to a narrow cabin in the belly of the ship, lit only by a single lantern that cast flickering shadows on the walls. The space was cramped and cluttered, with crates and boxes stacked haphazardly around us. She motioned for me to sit, and I did so, my back against the wall as I took in our surroundings.
"So, Kale," she began, her eyes never leaving mine, "I'm afraid we have a bit of a situation on our hands." Her voice was detached, but I detected a hint of something beneath a spark of unease that I couldn't quite pin down.